We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show. We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're thinking about starting your own podcast, you might want to check out Spotify. Spotify has a platform that lets you make a podcast super easily and then distribute it everywhere and even monetize it. And all of these features are in one place. And even better, it's free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters. Check it out and see how it works. Now, on to Untangle. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Meditation Studio. I'm Patricia Karpus. In this series, we introduce you to real people with extraordinary stories and experts who share how meditation and mindfulness practices change our lives. Our podcast is brought to you by Meditation Studio, Apple's pick as one of the 10 best apps of the year. Why download the app? Because life is messy. We get stressed, anxious, have trouble sleeping, we work too hard, feel overwhelmed, our hearts get broken, we worry about the state of the world. We meditate because we're human. Our app gives you hundreds of meditations from over 30 leading experts. It helps a lot. And if you haven't tried the app yet, you can now try it for free and explore a starter series plus a sample of some of our favorite guided meditations in the Discover collection. You may also want to check out our new meditation collection focused on mindful eating and our collection and course all about mindfulness at work. And if you've already got the app, check out our new unguided meditation timer where you can create your own meditations with or without our brand new pretty amazing music tracks. And don't forget the 8 free meditations on Alexa. Just ask her to enable Meditation Studio. Today's guest is Rob Dubay, president and co-founder of Image One, a small company that Forbes ranked as one of America's best small companies. Rob is an avid meditator and the author of a book called Do Nothing, the most rewarding leadership challenge you will ever take. He's also the founder of the Do Nothing Leadership Retreat, which you'll learn more about in this interview. He believes deeply in the power of meditation and mindfulness practices as a way to fuel compassionate leadership and to change a company's culture in some pretty amazing ways. Rob writes articles with titles like Why Leaders Should Embrace the Human Story and Why No Legacy is as Rich as Honesty When It Comes to Leadership. He's an extraordinary guy with a giant heart. And he walks the talk. He's an authentic leader, and it shows in the success of his company and in the happiness of his team members. Now, here's Rob. Rob, it is so exciting to have you back on Untangled today. I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. This is amazing.
I think it's been almost a year, and you now have a book, and it's about compassionate leadership and why that matters. And I wanted to ask you what your inspiration was for writing the book.
Dating back to when I first started my meditation practice, which came off the heels of just a whole lot of anxiety in my life and looking for something that could be useful to me. And after trying other things, this was kind of a last shot at it. And it just worked for me. And I found that I was becoming more present and more aware. And I watched, as an entrepreneur and a business owner, I was noticing the difference in my interactions with my team. I was noticing that we were doing better as a company. And I was noticing that our culture was getting stronger. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it was all because I was meditating, but I think it was helping me as a leader. And along the way, a few years back, somebody who I know as part of a community called the Small Giants community asked me if I would lead a meditation and tell a little bit about my story at a conference that they were having. And I immediately said no, but she nudged me and I decided to take it as a personal challenge and go ahead and do that. I did a short presentation and I led a short meditation, and I was very surprised at the interest in that session. So many people were coming up to me after, "Wow, that was the best way to start the morning. Can I get your card? I have some questions for you. I'm interested in meditation. I keep doing it wrong, or I don't really know how to get started," things of that nature. Along the way, literally for the next year, people were calling me, sending me emails. I had one email that I remember in particular. Somebody sent me at 3:30 in the morning and said, "I just wanted to let you know I couldn't sleep. So I sat down and I tried meditation and I was thinking about your presentation to guide me through it. And I really felt a lot better. Thank you."
Wow. And that was the first time doing it too for you.
Yes, it That was crazy. And so along this way, somebody said, "You ought to write a book about this," which again, very similar. I just said no. And I got some nudges. And at the end of 2016, I said to my wife, "Maybe I'll try just writing a few pages. Let me know what you think of it and I'll take it from there." And she thought it was pretty good. As I went into 2017, I thought, "I'm just going to write one page a day. I'm like that. I could take big things and put them into bite-sized pieces." And so I just started writing one page a day. And I'm sure you can imagine it turned into two or three and four or five on some days. And some days I couldn't get past a paragraph, but I kept at it. And I spoke to many wonderful people like yourself about what I was doing and asked for a lot of feedback. And I ended up writing the book. And
yeah, and it's an awesome book. I just want to share that with everyone. And
Thank you.
I want to ask you two questions, which I think are interconnected. And the first is why you named the book Do Nothing. And then I want to understand a little bit more about how you define compassionate leadership and then how meditation actually helps us to be better leaders. But let's start with why name a book Do Nothing. Do nothing, read nothing.
Oh, the title has been the most pleasant surprise of the whole thing. And it was completely by accident because I was speaking with some people in my office about the book and it didn't have a name at the time. And somehow during the course of the conversation, I just said, "It's just like you sit there and you just do nothing and never do nothing. We're always so busy and things are coming at us 1,000 miles an hour from every angle. And what if you just do nothing?" And somebody said, "Oh, you should name your book that."
And but is it really doing nothing?
In its most simplistic form for me.
For most people. Yeah,
I guess so. And along the way, this is what every person that I spoke to, specifically many of the people that I interviewed for the book, a lot of them very successful in their own right, like yourself, who heard the title, and for those that didn't know me, did respond back to me and said, I'm interested in what this is about, this do nothing idea.
Right. It's a curious title.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. It's a curious title. So that's how that came about. As far as compassionate leadership goes, I was inspired many years ago. I'll mention the Small Giants community again. And this community was spawned off of a book called Small Giants. And it was written by an author by the name of Bo Burlingham, who used to be the editor at Inc. magazine. And Small Giants is a best-selling book. It highlights companies from all over the world that are doing unique things with their cultures, yet they're successful companies, and many of which you haven't heard of. So what really got me interested in the book when I first read it was, wow, I never heard of them. There's all these companies you always hear about, and you're trying to, at least for me as an entrepreneur, what's their secret sauce? How are they doing things? But these were these under the radar companies that just had these amazing cultures, and it was inspirational to me. The qualities of the Small Giants are purpose. They have a strong vision, a purposeful mission statement, core values that are literally brought to life. When you walk into their place, you feel it. Leadership, they're servant leaders who are leading by those values. There's a culture where there's intimacy, putting their employees first, caring for them in the totality of their lives. There's the financial piece to it, which is they have to protect their margins and not compromise their values. And customers, cultivating these meaningful relationships with the customers, their suppliers, all any stakeholders that they have in their business. And then there's the community aspect to it, which is just establishing deep roots in their community. And it's kind of like if Image One, which is my company, if we weren't in our community anymore, would anybody even notice? I hope somebody would, or that's our goal here. So compassionate leadership goes to a few of those qualities of Small Giants, caring for the totality of our team members' lives. And one of the things that we talk about a lot at Image One is we aren't so focused on work-life balance. We're focused on life balance and really teaching our team to be in the moment right here, right now. Sometimes it's frustrating and sometimes it's super exciting and cause for celebration. And whatever that might be, just be in the moment. It's just life that's happening around us.
Yeah, I love that you talk about that in terms of life balance. And in the book, there's a lot of great detail about Small Giants and those qualities, which I think is great for people to check out. I want to understand a little bit more about the connection between meditation and some of those values that Small Giants embrace and that create this compassionate leadership culture.
I'll speak for myself as a leader.
Yeah.
There are different types of leadership styles. One that I'll point to would be like command and control.
Right.
That's an example. And guilty. I've been in business since 1991. My business partner and I started our company when we graduated college. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I certainly have had many poor leadership moments throughout the years. And I continue to. But what I did start to notice is when I started meditating and honing in on my practice, it really did give me the ability to be more aware and more present when I was with my team members, giving them the space. I always think about when I'm in a meeting with somebody and I clearly have the answer, or at least I think I do. Just can't wait to tell them what they need to do, which is not serving them in any way. And learning to just be with that moment, allow them to talk through their challenge, their issue. And I've noticed when I clear my mind, I get rid of solving, I get rid of judging, and just be there fully, they always come up with the answer. It's time after time. They have the answer. They just need the full energy of your presence. And it's amazing. That's been the biggest thing that I've noticed for me as a leader.
And you talk about the difference that it makes when you give people your full attention. And I think in the book, you said things slow down, our judgments fade a bit, which is a big one. And I know that so many people struggle with this because we're always multitasking and we're really impatient, especially when you're in a meeting and you want to get to the next thing.
A word from our sponsor, Happy Mammoth. This is the company that created the amazing supplement, Hormone Harmony, and they are dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients like herbal extracts called adaptogens that help the body adapt to any stressors, especially those chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. They're offering our listeners 15% off the first order at happymammoth.com using the promo code UNTANGLE. So if you're tired of hot flashes, night sweats, low moods, poor sleep, you get the drill. The things that put your life on hold, you will want to check them out. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com with the code UNTANGLE at checkout. That's happymammoth.com with the code UNTANGLE. Now, on to UNTANGLE.
So what do you suggest? I mean, I know you've adopted a lot of these new styles, and I'm sure your employees applaud you for not being command and control anymore. So that's a good thing. But what are some of your suggestions for leaders for when they're actually in a meeting or they're having a difficult conversation? So one thing is to start a meditation practice, but then there are some other tools that you probably employ, like pausing or just simple tools. What are some of those tools for leaders that you would recommend?
Definitely breathe. Try to bring your focus to your breath before you speak. And it's that pause, that moment between stimulus and response, as attributed to Viktor Frankl. That's the biggest piece of feedback that I can give. And it's practice. Think about it all the time. Even maybe at times where you don't think you need it, maybe set an intention each day as you go through your day and you have your interactions. Before you speak, you will take a breath and pause for a minute.
Yeah.
Even a split second. I say a minute, but it's just a split second. And it's not an overnight thing. It's something that, like in anything that you do in your life, it takes practice.
Well, you also say we've been given this gift, and the gift to lead that can make such a huge difference in the lives of others. And I really liked when you said how humbling it is to realize how much our actions affect other people. And wow, that makes such a huge difference. I know you've talked to me before about, you know, an employee has a bad experience at work. They go home, they have a bad experience with their spouse or their child or whoever they're interacting with, and that ripple effect can be really harmful. And so this is a shift from that. So talk to us about that a little bit.
We have been given, as you say, this gift, and it's such a responsibility. And I think as leaders, if we can start our day and as we go through our day, we could just continually remind ourselves of our purpose here with our organizations, with our team members. We're doing tactical things. We're solving problems. There are issues and challenges at every corner and celebrations. But at the end of the day, as leaders, being sure that we're very aware of what we're about to say could have the effect that that could have on that person. And I use this example where maybe I'm walking down the hallway and I pass the person who does billing at our company. And let's just say this person's been a part of the company for 15 years and in a general sense, performs their role just about flawlessly. And let's just say one day they were late on the billing and I heard about it. And so walking down the hallway, I say, "Hey, Tom, I heard you were late on the billing. What's going on with you?" Ha, 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 ha. And we pass and I kind of nudge him and move on. Well, let's just say Tom didn't receive it the way I thought I presented it, as sort of a nudge, like, you never mess up.
Yeah.
You're always flawless. You're amazing. One bad day, oh boy. But Tom walks away and thinks, "Oh my gosh, I've been working here for 15 years and I've only been late on billing like four times. It'd be nice if Rob acknowledged that." And then it's stewing and Tom goes home. and says to his wife, while his two young children are sitting at the table, "I am so frustrated. The owner of the company said this thing to me about being late for billing, and I haven't been late for only 4 times in 15 years. And he's calling me out in it and thinks right. It's funny. And the kids are feeling the stress and yeah. so on and so forth." And you could see where that goes. And it just got me thinking that we've got to really take the things that we're saying seriously and really think about it. Really think about it. Are we going to be a lifter upper or a dragger downer? We like to say that here at Image One.
That is so cool. A lifter upper or a dragger downer, because it does have a big impact. And even though your intention wasn't for that to be negative, now you will pause before you say something so that you can think about the impact that it might have on that person. Because that's sort of sad, like that he went home and felt that way. That's like, wow.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so when you do get annoyed, or when do you still feel those feelings of annoyance? Do you have a particular conflict style that's changed since you've begun your meditation practice over the last several years? You know, we talk a lot about conflict style here and how we relate to other people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really curious about that.
One of my mentors taught me, when furious, get curious.
Oh.
So yes, I still get annoyed. And I'm a person, I have high standards, and sometimes they're unachievable, both for myself and for others. And that's so unfair. Yeah. And so if I'm getting annoyed, furious, to use that term, start to get curious inside myself, what's going on, and just start to investigate and go a little bit deeper. Again, pausing. Sometimes things are left best unsaid until investigated. That said, business moves fast and you have to move on. Let's say you have a meeting. There's a purpose for the meeting. You need a decision many times so you can move on with whatever it is. And sometimes I would say the wrong thing. Now, when I say the wrong thing, I have to have some self-awareness, self-management, and be able to have the insight to go back and speak with the person and talk through maybe the way I approached a situation, because that happens all the time. I had a situation recently with a video conference, and I was reading the person's facial expressions a certain way, and it was taking up a lot of my mind space. The person looked disengaged. I was getting very frustrated. It was a difficult topic that we were talking about, and it was one that we had revisited many times. And this is a long-term team member, and I thought, geez, come on, step up to the plate. What's going on here? You've been here long enough. Why are you so disengaged? I'm thinking this all in my head. So when the meeting ended, I contacted her and I said, "What was going on during the meeting? I was watching your facial expressions, your body language, and you just seemed so distracted and disengaged." And she said, "Oh my gosh, I have RBF and I'm working on that. I am so sorry." I said, "I don't know what RBF is. I do not know what RBF is. I'm sorry. I must be getting old." She just started cracking up and she goes, "Well, it's called resting. It rhymes with witch. It starts with a B, face."
Oh, no.
So I said, "Okay, I did not know that." She said, no, I'm so sorry. That wasn't what was going on." And so these are great discussions for us to have as team members to go offline and get on the same page.
Yeah.
And if I didn't talk to her, I could have been stewing about this for a week or 2 weeks. Like, what is going on with this person? And I would have been totally wrong.
Right. You could have been ruminating in all of your judgments. And I thought you were going to say something happened at home or like some crisis and she was like so apologetic. But that actually makes a lot of sense. You refer to this Harvard study where they identified 3 leadership capacities that a mindfulness practice develops. And I think this is part of what you're saying. It's the metacognition. It's that witnessing of yourself and then allowing that thought to be there and then the curiosity. So the curiosity for you in that situation was asking the question and not just stewing in it yourself. But you did stew a little bit.
Very curious after. And I do think that emotional intelligence for all of us as leaders is to not just let it slide. And sometimes we get so busy, it's just like, oh, geez, another thing. And I got to get in touch with the person and try to talk it through. And do I have time? I mean, it's so important. I think, especially in growing businesses, to get to the next level, emotional intelligence is one of the keys. I think for our team members, we look at IQ for whatever we're doing, how smart we are and how intelligent we are with how we go about doing things, to be, let's say, like 20% of it. And then the emotional intelligence intelligence to be like 80% of it.
Yeah.
It's a complicated thing, emotional intelligence. Here at Image One, we talk about delivering the X and extraordinary. And when you're dealing, let's just say we've been talking a lot about internal, let's mm-hmm. say we're dealing with customers mm-hmm. and every customer has a different perception of how they might see a situation. And it's not a black and white thing for us to figure out. There's not a system to figuring that out. Yeah. There's sort of a gauge and being curious, being able to talk through situations with them, understand where they're coming from, and even the empathetic piece to it, yeah. where you're trying to understand what else could be going on here. Because like you mentioned with that situation that I was just outlining with the person on video conference, the customer might be having a bad home situation that particular day or something frustrating going on. And we have to be real mindful of that. Why are they getting upset about what seems to us to be a minor situation?
Yeah.
Let's not let that frustrate us. Let's try to understand how we can lift them up.
When do you let go of something versus engage? You know, as a leader, we're learning all of these tools. And at least for me, the ruminating part, when I get frustrated, if it's a real frustration, can be very hard to let go of. But I don't always think it's good to talk to the person about it, because sometimes it's just a situation and it will pass. When is it good to talk about it as a leader? And when is it good to let go?
Well, you taught me something. Is to decide if this really matters. Thank you for teaching me that.
Maybe I should remember.
Take your own advice. I've been thinking about that a lot since you taught me that. And my meditation practice is helpful for that. Now, in my case, I meditate both in the morning when I wake up and then in the evening prior to going to bed at night. And so as these thoughts are floating around in my mind and just letting them go and doing my best to come back to my breath and focus on my breath has been a very powerful thing for me, because I'm not trying to figure anything out. I'm not trying to get to the crux of it or trying to overanalyze it or underanalyze it or whatever it is I might be trying to do. Just let them flow. Somehow there's a process, and I'm not smart enough to know what it is, but there's a process that takes place where maybe there's an intuition about what to do next. And sometimes it really is not doing anything next. And that could be powerful too.
Right. There we go. Do nothing.
Do nothing.
There we go. In the book, you also talk about, I think we've talked about this quite a bit here, but I like the way you put it when you outline the four key benefits of meditation. Do you want to outline those for us a little bit too?
I think the productivity, efficiency, letting go of the fear, all of these byproducts of what has happened with me through my practice has been so valuable. I think when people talk to me about the time commitment, I just can't find the time to do it. Productivity is one aspect to it, because when my mind is cluttered, I'm just not as sharp. And when it's clear, I can make decisions so much better, so much faster. I see it. And so I think, boy, that 20 minutes that I'm taking is such a wonderful investment in time, because it will make me more efficient in the long run and more productive. That's where it's really coming into play for me. And I've seen this and heard these same sentiments from other leaders in who are regular meditators. The rejuvenation piece to it, it's a time to kind of reset for me. Sometimes I'll use the evening for me in this case. Sometimes the day just takes over and there are so many things coming at me, whether it be personally, professionally, or both, all of it. And my mind just feels so full. I can literally feel it. I think about sometimes when we have children in our lives, or we have our own children, or when we were children, and you'd be having a tantrum and it was noticeable because your parents or whoever was caring for you at the time might say, they see the tantrum taking place and they'll say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit down and just breathe and just calm down. And so my adult version of that is maybe not the outward piece to it, but the inward, this feeling that is going on in my mind. And I can even feel it in my body to a certain extent. And to be able to just sit down and take a time out, it's my adult time out. Sometimes, especially at night, I'm exhausted and really the idea of getting it to bed sounds really amazing. I look over at my meditation mat And I know that there has not been one time where I've taken my 20 minutes in the evening where I have regretted it. And I'm always glad I did. And I always feel calmer and I sleep better because of it on top of that.
I want to tell everyone that you're vegan. You've run like, is it 13 or 14 marathons? Whether it's the meditation or your diet, you just take such great care of yourself. And I think that's a great lesson for leaders as well. But I did want to ask you if you're willing to talk about it. I like that story about the Boston Marathon and you were there during the Boston Marathon bombing. And I kind of wanted to understand like how your practice helped you when you were going through this. We have so many, sadly, traumas in our world almost every day, and people just struggle with how to cope with that. So I thought that might be a great thing for you to share with us, that experience.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. We talk about these often on Untangle. When we keep things bottled up inside, it can start to impact our health mentally, emotionally, and physically. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, whatever it is. If this sounds like you, and it's a bit of all of us, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule and needs. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now over to Untangle.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And I get goosebumps every time somebody mentions it, which probably tells you how impactful the whole situation was for us. And in our case, we're all safe. And so obviously very grateful for that. But on that particular day, this was my 13th marathon and I've run 14. And I was going to take a break after this particular marathon. And so it was a real celebration. My family had traveled around to many events with me over the years. And in this particular case, some of my family had come into town that had not seen me in a marathon before. And it's just always been a fun thing that we've been able to do together. And I was on the bus, which takes you out to a town called Hopkinton, which is basically 26.2 miles from the finish line in Boston on Boylston Street. And on my way on the bus, my father sent me a text and he said, your grandmother, who we call Meme, had been admitted to the hospital the evening before and that she was fine and to run the marathon, everything's good. And so obviously I had emotions. My Meme has been very impactful for me in my life and she has since passed away. I had a lot of thoughts about that. And I thought she's with me in some way. And I was able to take some pause in recalibrate what my quote unquote goal was for the marathon. All of a sudden, everything changed. And I thought that my practice helped me to cue into that a little bit deeper and not get too caught up in the emotion of what might be going on and to run that race with a different purpose in mind. And that was with her in mind. And just to be very disciplined with the race. It's an exciting race. So a lot of things can happen during these marathons, which I've learned, especially big ones like Boston, where I could get very caught up and maybe go a little bit too fast at the outset and at the end really struggle. And I didn't want to struggle. I wanted it to be very fluid so I could get back and find out exactly what was going on. And I felt maybe there was a greater purpose going on here. So that's what I did. I just ran a very fluid race that day and I did very well toward the finish line. I saw my family where we had planned where they would be to kind of cheer me on. And when I finished, it was very exciting, but I was just on a mission for some reason. Something was driving me to kind of leave that finish line area where typically I probably would have hung out for quite a period of time. And I motored myself out of the area, got to the family meeting area. We met up and that's again, another area where we probably would have hung out. But I said, hey, let's get back to the hotel. And I just started going. I remember my family saying, slow down. You just ran a marathon. What's going on? I said, I don't know. I just want to get back to the hotel room. And we got back to the hotel room. I felt a little bit more settled. I don't know what it was. I just felt something. Mm-hmm. And next thing you knew, and it wasn't too soon after we kind of got settled, was we heard a very loud noise. And it just so happened we were at the Westin Hotel and had a view of the finish line. So we were able to look out our windows and see a lot of smoke and a lot of people running. And there were a lot of emotions in that room, everything from, you can imagine, confusion to scared to everything. And I just somehow I had a presence of mind at that moment to stay kind of calm. It was sort of surreal. And I just said, let's take a breath and let's find out what's happening. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know that it was a bomb at the time. And I just said, until we really know, let's just stay calm. And then the second one, not too long after, went off. And then I did know something was wrong. And we had a lot of people in the rooms. And so I grabbed my wife and just went into the other room. And I just said, let's just stay calm and try to come up with a plan for what's going to go on from here. Ultimately, we couldn't leave the hotel, so it didn't matter. We needed to stay put, and the city did an amazing job with everything they did from there. And we just had to trust the universe from that point on. And I felt very calm the whole night. I just felt like things were out of our control. And I noticed others that were trying to control some things. And I think my practice helped a lot there. I just realized I had to let go. There was nothing that could be done. And we were safe as it was at that moment. And let's just be focused on this moment right here, right now, because that's all we could do.
And in that case, you were influencing your family as a leader, probably giving them a sense of calm. What a story. I want to have you share with us the retreat that you're doing. So the book is really, it's a story. It's a bit of memoir. It's your stories. There's some science in there. There's how to meditate. There's interviews that you've done with a number of different people. I mean, it's such a great mix of content for people who want to tap into how meditation can be so powerful for us. And you're also doing a retreat.
Yes. This is this wonderful idea that I came up with. I was on a retreat, actually. And when I came back from the retreat and I was interacting with some team members within, let's say I was back for 2 or 3 weeks. And I thought, wow, these retreats are so powerful for me. I would love to share this with the business community, because could you imagine busy leaders literally turning off their phones, their computers to go on vacation, even if it's like a beach vacation, you know, you're still busy. Even if you're not checking your email, you're doing stuff. You're constantly on the go. And could you imagine what that might be like to just really, what I like to say is start to feel your brain again. We've been so busy since we were, like, for myself, let's just say since I was like 5 years old, I don't think I really knew what my brain felt like. So I just thought, what if I framed this retreat as a leadership retreat, and it would just be for leaders. And I would have a time frame that I felt, based on my experience, was digestible for leaders, which in this case, it's 2 half days, 2 full days. And some of the talks and wisdom talks would revolve around awareness, presence, the impact that we have on others, and deepening that thought process. And so I did decide to jump in and put together this retreat, which is taking place in the mountains outside of Fort Collins, Colorado, at the Shambhala Mountain Center, April 23rd to the 26th. And it has a limited number of seats, of which we've got, I think, 3 or 4 left. And I'm just very excited for the people that are coming, and many of which will be experiencing this for the first time. And from what I've gathered, these are leaders that have done many things to improve themselves over the years. And they look at this as a next level of leadership growth for them. And I'm so impressed by that and humbled that they're coming. And so it's called the Do Nothing Silent Leadership Retreat.
Of course it is. So, okay, let's talk about the silence. So for people that are interested in going and have never done a silent retreat, it's not 100% silent in that there are wisdom talks and there's people leading, but for you as a participant, are you silent the whole time? Do you recommend like no reading, no writing, or how are you doing that?
Yeah, there will be some interaction, which includes talking at the outset, the arrival day, and in a little bit, the first day. Then we will be brought into silence and taught about that. And we'll stay in silence for about a day and a half or so, and then come out on the last day. Mm-hmm. So as far as silence goes, no talking. The recommendation would be no reading or writing or anything that is sort of keeping your mind busy. There will be some, we call them wisdom talks, but there will be some periods where there aren't any of that as well. And so at the end of the day, though, we are all there at our own will. And so you ultimately have the freedom to do whatever you think you need to do. So if journaling is calling your name and you just can't not journal, then by all means journal, because it's not intended to be something that is a big struggle, and you will get something out of it without question. But that's the recommendation, is just try to go without to the best of your ability.
I can vouch for the fact that there's so much growth that happens in these retreats, mm-hmm. whether they're short or long. And I just want to share with our listeners that I've been to this location, the Shambhala Mountain Retreat Center, and it's absolutely magnificent in the mm-hmm. mountains of Colorado. So I think there's no better way to do your first or second retreat at a location like that. And the teacher is amazing. So I highly recommend the experience. Well, Rob, is there anything else that you want to share with us about the book or the retreat or anything else that you're up to, because you're not busy enough running your company, writing a book, managing a retreat?
Oh, I just thank you for asking. Any information on the book, the retreat, and then I'm doing some speaking. DoNothingBook.com is where you can find that information. And I'd love to hear from you. So you certainly can find all my social links on the website. So if you're interested, as you kind of peruse through some of the information, if you're interested or curious about anything, let me know and we'll get you whatever you need. So DoNothingBook.com and check out the book. I'm humbled to have it out there, and I hope it's useful for people. That was what I had in mind during the reading. I didn't want it to be something that was a huge time commitment. And I also wanted to try to keep it as simple as possible, because that's really the place I came from.
Well, it's a beautiful book, and we're so grateful that you wrote it. So thank you. And thank you so much for being on our show again. I am so grateful. You're such an amazing guy. Thank you.
Thanks for having me back. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Thanks so much to Rob for his great wisdom and insights on leadership. For more information on his book and the retreat, check out donothingbook.com. And if you have feedback or suggestions for guests, email us at patricia@meditationstudioapp.com. And don't forget to download Meditation Studio in the App Store. We'll see you next time.